Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
One is Mark and John's the other. They're just friends. They are not lovers. It's two old queens. It's two old queens. They're just sassy, not that mean. Two old queens. It's two old queens.
Now shut up.
Hello. Welcome to Two Old Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
Mark, let people know about our guest today. Oh, so exciting.
Oh, my gosh. She's a writer on SNL, Twilight Zone. Heard of it? Oh. She's appeared on Whose Line Is It Anyway? And co-host of the podcast, How Did This Get Played? It's Heather Ann Campbell.
Yay.
Welcome, Heather.
It's good to see you guys. I'm not a current writer for SNL. I was many years ago.
Talk about the Twilight Zone.
Well, who knows
who,
when people are going to listen to this? They might listen to this in the past.
Oh.
And when that is appropriate.
Yeah, okay. If you're listening to this in the past, then yes, I'm currently on the show.
Yeah, that's time great. Moves in different dimensions, right?
Yeah, yeah. Podcasts, it's a new medium. Who knows?
Yeah, if they are hearing this in the past, it is a new medium.
That's true, yeah.
That's right.
Absolutely.
So do you have Oscar fever? Do you care about the Oscars?
I really wanted Adam Sandler to get nominated.
I did too. Sure.
So fucking
disappointed.
I wanted him to get nominated. I wanted the cast of Parasite to get nominated.
Yes.
There's a lot. I was frustrated. Lupita from Us. She literally played two
different people.
People.
Yes.
What is an acting award for if not for that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So those are some of my.
Have
my
you seen Dolomite Is My Name? Because that's another
one I thought.
Eddie Murphy definitely should have been up there.
It's the perfect Netflix movie. It's like the perfect movie to watch while you're like doing something on your phone. You know, you could leave the room for 5 minutes, get your laundry out of the dryer. But
then
like
you'd miss some of those great outfits, though.
Yeah.
Gotta be careful.
I haven't seen it, but I'm sure that if I did, I'd be frustrated about that, too.
Do you care about the Oscars, Norm? Like, do you feel like you have skin in the game?
So I am one of those people who does care.
Oh, you do?
Okay, that's great.
I I know that it's fixed, essentially, and that, it's all garbage, and the people who should get nominated don't get nominated, but I still retain, that quality from when I was a little girl, and I would tune in and I'd be like, this is an entirely different world,
right?
And this is so cool, and these people are real people right now, and I loved the clips.
Oh, sure.
You know, because also when
you love a package
when you're a kid and before the internet, that was the only way to see some of those things again,
like
without
a rated
renting
R
a movie,
right?
Yeah,
especially a rated R movie.
Yeah. So so I watch every year and make a little ballot, and sometimes I'm by myself when I do it. Yeah. So
you know, but there's a worldwide community.
That's true.
You know, you're not alone.
Yeah.
Your friends on Twitter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If it wasn't for Twitter, I would be alone this year when I watched it.
Sure.
But yeah, no, it's really I don't know. Mixed bag.
I feel like that's what the Oscars always are. Like every year, it's never like, oh, they nailed it this year.
They
you
got
know
it
what I mean?
Across
like,
the
they
board,
did it
all
right.
Correct.
I don't know. The movie we're discussing today did get a ton of nominations.
It sure
did. Sweep a whole lot.
Yeah, and I felt like that was a year they nailed it.
Okay.
Oh,
I think we know where you stand. Well, I think that's a perfect segue.
It's a perfect segue.
John, tell us, what movie are we talking? In our series, this is the last in our series of movies movies that have won or nominated Best Supporting Actress.
Yes. Mm. So we are at Titanic, which came out in 1997, and it is an epic romance disaster film directed, written, co-produced, and co-edited by James Cameron. And the film is based on the accounts of the sinking of the RMS Titanic. It stars Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet as members of different social classes who fall in love aboard a ship during its ill-fated maiden voyage. It was released on December 19th, 1997. It was nominated for 14 Academy Awards.
14.
14.
That's
it is tied.
Three more than Joker.
That's three That's more right. than Joker. It is tied with All About Eve for the most Oscar nominations. And then it won 11 awards, including Best Picture, Best Director, which tied with Ben-Hur from 1959 for the most Oscars won by any movie.
Good.
And so with her nomination for Best Supporting Actress at 85, Gloria Stewart became the oldest person to ever to be nominated for an Oscar. Stewart held the record for 19 years until 2018 when Christopher Plummer was nominated for Best Supporting Actor at age 88. Mm. Stewart, however, still holds the record for the oldest woman nominated for Supporting Actress.
Thank you.
It was the most expensive film ever made at the time with a production budget of over $200 million.
Yep.
Its initial worldwide gross was $1.84 billion. Yep. Titanic was the first film to reach the billion-dollar mark and became the highest grossing film ever at the time until James Cameron's Avatar came out in 2010. And then after the 3D version of Titanic was released in 2012 to commiserate the centennial of the sinking, it earned an additional $343.6 million worldwide, pushing the film's worldwide total to $2.18 billion, making it the second film to gross more than $2 billion. The first one was, of course, Avatar.
Oh, my God. So, Heather, we asked you to bring in a movie, won or not, for Best Supporting Actress nominee. Why Titanic?
Well, I was looking through the list on Wikipedia of like all these movies. Mm-hmm. Two or three weeks ago, when you guys asked me, like the day before, I was at a taco restaurant and they were playing it on the television.
Okay.
And I was like, shit, I miss this movie. Like, it has a lot of good feelings in it. I feel like it's, you know, 9/11 happens not too long after Titanic was released.
Sure.
So you couldn't make a film about like, I don't know, romanticizing a terrible tragedy. Like, it would have
That's
put
true.
It in an entirely different context and colored it in a different way. So this was like a wholesome movie that could not be made just a few years after that. And it feels very nostalgic as a result.
Do you remember, did you love it when it came out?
I
did
loved
it. Did you see it in the theater?
I loved it. Not only did I love it. So I was, you know, I'm a kid at the time. And my parents are a Betamax house.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay.
Made the wrong choice.
Well, but so a friend of a friend of a friend was in, like, could get screeners. Mm. And this was insane in Chicago. Like, sure. To get a screener.
Right.
And they had the treasured, coveted Titanic screener. But you couldn't make copies of VHS screeners back then because of copy protection unless you had a Betamax.
Okay.
So I copied the film and then made copies of my Betamax tapes and gave them like back to VHS
and gave
them out to all my female friends.
You're like a dealer.
Yeah, a fucking Titanic dealer. And people were like, "How'd you get this?" And it was. I mean, wow. I watched it a lot that December.
How many times would you say you've seen it?
Oof.
That's a lot of time.
A lot of time. I would say upwards of 30.
All right.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
And do you feel like you've seen all 3 hours and 15 minutes of it 30 times?
Yes.
Or, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes. Though for this podcast, I only watched up to like midway through the sinking, and then I was like, I remember the rest.
I feel like no matter what, that's kind of my, like, I remember watching, I saw in the theaters, I think once or twice, and then it would be on like HBO a lot, and whenever it gets to that sinking, you can't not watch that.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like, so I've seen that part so much, but so when I rewatch it for this, it's like, oh, I forgot all, like, this opening takes a while to get
to. It's a long time.
Yeah, it does.
It takes some time.
It does. And the sinking is not quite, but almost in real time.
It's like a lot. Yeah.
It's a lot of sinking.
There's a lot of sinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. When they're like, the boat's about to sink, it's like, we still have an hour and a half to go in
this
movie.
Yeah.
We've seen the whole movie already.
Yeah.
So, John, what's your background with Titanic?
I wouldn't say it's that extensive. I saw it when it came out, and I definitely was like, and I think I saw it a little bit later. It was one of those things where it's like, well, you kind of have to see it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
And so I saw it. I enjoyed it. I think like James Cameron is definitely like he's like a solid film director. You know what I mean? Like he does everything right. He understands, like, like as it goes on, you're like, oh, every little piece of it like is called back or it's setting up something else. Like, so like the structure of it is very, it's very tight and good in that way. But I don't think I had seen it since then. Certainly not in its entirety. I might have seen bits of it here and there.
The structure is like up here and the dialogue is like down here.
Yeah, the dialogue
here.
Is real bad.
Like, it's a real shame he didn't have somebody do a dialogue pass, because then I think it would be legitimately an incredible movie.
I agree.
And
yes.
Instead, it's just a great movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen it in forever. I thought it really held up. It is just purely excitement. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Towards that end, it just ramps up. Then he's such a great action director. And also, like, it was before there was too much CGI.
Yeah.
Like, all the model work and the fact that so much of it is real, that helps it be too dated. Like,
yes.
It still looks amazing and shockingly. Like, some of the images are still, like, that's, I don't know how they did that.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you see, like, when it's up in the air, just covered with people.
Yeah.
It looks terrifying.
Yeah.
It still works. I remember seeing it in the theater. I was waiting in line to see it, and my parents were like coming out. They had just seen it. My mom was like, I'd get back in line and watch it again if I could. So I knew, like, this is going to be a hit.
Yeah.
Wow.
I saw it again in 3D when it came out. The copy that I have at home is in 3D.
Okay.
Because I have this 3D projector.
Oh.
And the first half of the movie just is not made for 3D.
No. Yeah, there's not much for it.
But the second half of that movie, it's like he was like, someday I'm going to make this 3D, because there's a lot of stuff in the foreground that gives it really good depth.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's that shot of like the back of the ship coming out over the water.
Yes.
And that's incredible in 3D. You're like, oh, this is a nightmare.
Yes.
This is,
right.
This is hell.
Terrifying.
Yeah, this is awful.
I'm glad I'm not on that boat.
Now, Gloria Stewart was nominated. She didn't win.
She did not win.
She lost to Kim Basinger in Basinger.
Either
or. I don't know.
In LA Confidential. Also nominated was Joan Cusack in In-N-Out, Minnie Driver, Good Will Hunting, and Julianne Moore for Boogie Nights.
It was a year.
I think, what do you think? I think that Kim deserved it. I think she did.
I feel like... I will say this. It's going back. L.A. Confidential is not a movie I have any interest in going back and seeing again. I remember at the time feeling like it felt like, which happens a lot of the Oscars, of like, she deserves one. Let's give it to her for this
sure.
one. You know what I mean?
Yeah. She's been
like,
around.
Looking at it now,
Employee
I would probably give it to Julianne Moore.
Oh, okay.
I'd do Julianne Moore or Joan Cusack.
Joan Cusack
I think
was incredible.
Comedy is
so hard.
That's true.
Underrated.
Yeah.
They never get the awards.
Yeah.
But is Gloria Stewart good in this movie?
She's okay. So
yeah exactly.
She is, but the role isn't good. She's great. Like, think about how the role is just like, well, do you want to hear this story or
right,
not?
Yeah.
Like, it's not a deep role.
Right.
Correct. It's mostly for voiceover, really.
Yeah. It's not provocative. It's like a very wholesome old woman who's got a good memory about a thing. So I think she knocked it out of the park, because you know, like, if you'd given it to somebody and they'd like hammed it up too much or not hammed it up enough, that role would have been boring. But I think the reason that it's been 84 years is still a meme, like 20 years later, is because she did something memorable with that role.
There is like a unique, like, I don't think she can play sassy. There are some lines that are written sassy, and like, she is not, she is no rule of
hand.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah.
But
when
I was trying to think, like,
she'd been a great.
She's like, wasn't I a dish? And you're like,
okay.
Sure.
But like, if it was like Faye Dunaway, she'd just be smoking, you know, like,
gather
around, boys. Hear the story of the great ship. Well, should we get into it?
I think we should get
into
it.
As you may or may not know, we are looking for the gayest movie ever.
Okay.
And we have an elaborate and Byzantine scoring system with which to do it with it.
Okay.
With 36 scoring categories.
Great. Okay.
So we're going to go through all of them. Then at the end, you will add a category which will become canon.
Okay.
And we will use that category moving forward for every movie
movies.
As a prism to which judge the greatest movie ever.
The gayest movie.
So we're all going to give a score for each category. Then we take the average of that.
Great. Love it.
And then, so at the total, so then let me do the, I'll recap the top five.
Top five movies.
So this is the top five where we're at right now.
Gayest
top,
movies.
Top
of
five
all
gayest
all
movies ever made.
Yeah. Definitive list.
Okay.
Okay. Number five. Yes, number five. Midnight Madness with 58.97%.
Midnight Madness?
One of Susie Barrett's
favorites. Oh, the
scavenger hunt.
Yes, okay, great.
Yeah. All right, number four, gayest movie ever made. Adam's Family Values. 61.99.
It's a really gay movie. It's
pretty,
pretty great, though.
Yeah.
Number three, 9 to 5, 62.63%.
Okay, yeah. Also a great gay movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
Number two, Meet Me in St. Louis, 49%. And then the number one gayest movie of all time, still reigning champ at 69.17%, The Muppets Take Manhattan.
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
So that's a D. These are still very bad scores, I would say.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So I would love for something to dethrone Muppets Take Manhattan. Oh, is Titanic the one to do it?
It could be
the one
it
to sink it.
Was
we'll see.
The most successful film of all time for a while.
That's true.
And we'll see if that the we'll Eagles see. Is the, was the most successful album. Is that the gayest album? Decidedly not. All right. So the first category, on a scale of 0 to 100, how homoerotic is Titanic?
Okay. So there's not a lot. Looking through it, there's not, I mean, it's a pretty straight movie in just sort of its DNA. And I don't think it's homophobic, but it's very, like,
yes.
straight.
Yeah.
The only thing that was sort of, like, same-sex going on was at the very beginning when Bill Paxton, that guy, Lewis, who he's, like, they're going underwater with the submarines to the Titanic, they bring up the big safe, and they're so excited that he kisses him. But it's a real no-homo
that
kiss.
Is like
it's a real, it's a, I'm telling you right now, granted, this is real low-hanging fruit we're going for here. But for
so
me, that's all I could see that would qualify even.
The only thing I saw, and this is grasping at straws, mm-hmm. in The King of the World...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Leo mounts Fabrizio, essentially.
That's true.
Yeah, he does.
Okay.
That was it, though.
For,
in
yeah,
3 hours and 15 minutes, it was five. Did you
on
notice?
A cruise ship. There were no entertainers who were
just that proud, stoic quartet.
Yeah, I mean, there's like an all-male quartet. Does that count as like a 1 point on a gay
you
scale?
You don't have
yeah, however
to
you want
scale.
To.
0 to 100.
So you can give a couple
right.
points
there's,
for that.
There's almost
yeah. even
nothing.
Nothing. All those ladies in a boat? Nothing.
Nothing.
Not that we saw, no.
Yeah, there's really it's really mm. it's a really white straight film.
Yes,
yeah.
absolutely.
Yeah. So yeah. Ooh, okay, well we're not going to sink yeah. Muppets Take Manhattan this way.
Not in this round. John,
want me to go first?
Give
I'll give it a 6.
6.
Out of 100?
Out of 100, yeah.
Yeah, fair.
What are you going to give it?
Yeah, I would give 2 points, 2 points. Yeah, 6. 6
You're
points.
You're going to go 6?
It's 2 points per occurrence.
Yeah. You know, I'll go 7. That
okay.
King of the World thing.
Great.
Giving it 6.33. Not the worst. It's still beating The Secret of NIMH, which only has a 4.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing gay in that movie.
Very few.
Very
thing.
Little.
Except for the way I felt about the mouse when I was yeah. a kid.
Very confused,
yeah.
probably.
Very confused.
That's how you become furries. All right, next category on a scale 0 to 100. Actual gay characters.
Okay, this is another one. Here's my only pitch. Maybe if you did it now, you might lean into it. But that guy, Lovejoy, who's played by David Warner, he was sort of like Billy Zane's like fixer guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was like, why does he love Billy Zane so much? Maybe he's in love with Billy Zane.
I thought he just liked the maybe. Money he was giving him.
Well, maybe he's gay for pay. That, but again, I know I'm grasping for straws
Is
here.
It just
I fully
it's
admit
David
that.
David Warner, and you're thinking Maybe. Of Time Bandits.
I mean, I'm never not thinking of Time Bandits.
Yeah, I.
But it's yeah, it's that's not a lot in this one.
Isn't it crazy? Like 3 hours and all so many characters. Like how many speaking roles in this movie? And they got Vincent Garber in it playing somebody.
Victor Garber,
Victor.
But yes.
But what about Vincent? He was great too.
Well, is the unsinkable Molly Brown, is she gay adjacent? Do you think she's like at least bi? She's so bossy. She's
probably
gotta be bi.
I mean, like that real life woman inspired her own musical. So she's
okay.
She's somehow some sort of drag queen-y thing. I don't know. She's there's something.
Did she
there.
Read gay to you at all?
I mean she.
She was
she's
married.
Like a, she's a pushy woman.
She's a real. She's
at a time.
She's a real. I mean, I don't know. She's a. I don't. Yeah. I no. I can't give it to her.
She was married for.
She also has
14 years.
She also had a son too.
Yeah.
Well, so. You can't be lesbian and have a son.
That's impossible.
Yeah, it's impossible.
Physically impossible.
Yeah.
Sorry, kids are all right.
Yeah.
So what would you give this on actual gay characters, John?
I'm gonna just go 3 for maybe
3.
Maybe that one guy.
Heather.
I mean, I feel like you could do research and find out how many gay people are on Titanic.
I did.
Oh.
There were like 4.
Okay.
4 actual, none in the movie.
Right, but on the ship.
Really?
Yes.
How did you
they
do
had
your
letters,
research for
they
that?
They knew someone. I just did, were any gay people on Titanic? I Googled that, and there was a guy who wrote a paper about it, and like there
oh,
was
wow.
like one like politician and like his like aide, and like he
oh, gotcha.
They found letters and stuff.
So here's my argument then, is okay. that James Cameron... like put the dishes had like all of the real printing on the dishes. Yes,
and the leather rugs.
So
too,
I'm for guessing authenticity. I'm guessing that in the big
casting
scene
of the extras.
In the fancy rich people
the
scene
dinner, right.
That those Ooh. Dudes are there, right?
Sure.
So I'm gonna give it a one.
Okay. Fair enough.
Fair.
I gotta give it a zero for that. So sorry. 1.33 average. All right, next category, camp factor. How campy is Titanic on 0 to 100?
I think it's very campy.
How would very. You, I would love to hear. Do you have a definition of camp?
Well, camp is arch. It's it is above. It is a space in between drama and comedy.
Okay.
Yes. That is has heightened emotional states of either joy or sadness.
Okay.
And I would say as a result that this movie is super camp.
This movie is very campy.
Yeah.
And in some like surprising like low key ways, uh-huh. like when Leo DiCaprio is like showing her like all his old model, and she's like, "Oh, I think you loved her." And he was like, "Oh, she was just a one legged prostitute model that I had."
Yeah.
Which is like, what? And also like like them parading up and down those stairs constantly to go to dinner and not.
Yeah.
I felt like it was in a Jerry Herman musical for a while. That was really campy. That scene, I shouldn't laugh at it, but like when Billy Zane slapped Kate Winslet, she held it real dramatic and she held it.
Like a telenovela.
And her hair, it was very telenovela. And I think just Billy Zane's entire performance.
All of Billy Zane.
All of Billy Zane is pure camp.
He's in a different
He's having a great
yeah,
time.
Yeah.
He's great.
He's amazing.
There's also, when they're at dinner, there's an old guy who's in a different movie, and I think it's a campier movie.
Yeah.
Like DiCaprio's like, you know, like I got here with a lucky game of poker.
Yeah.
And the old guy goes, "All life is a game of luck." And you're like, whoa.
Where did he come from?
What is happening?
Is this Deadwood?
He's also got a large mustache.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I also think Bill Paxton's earring.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And that sweater was like straight camp that he wore.
Yeah.
Like it was very much like
I don't believe it's straight camp.
Okay.
I think just the fact that Celine Dion is on the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Yes. That's true.
The fact that also like that this is a best picture, like because it is also almost like the prototypical this is a best picture.
Yeah.
So it is kind of a Hollywood's dream version, wet dream of a best picture nominee.
Yeah.
So there's something. And also everyone clapping when Jack and Rose kiss at the end.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I've never seen in real life. A woman's heart is a deep ocean of secrets.
Oh yeah.
So many of those lines.
You unimaginable bastard.
And the fact that that Rose and her mother are like, "We'll be seamstresses. We're so poor."
And then also the fact that the Titanic is sinking. People are dying.
Yeah.
Still not dramatic enough. So we need Billy Zane chasing them with a gun.
Right.
Yeah. It's like you made a movie of Columbine but added like a heist during it.
Well, yeah. I mean, the whole movie is just like James Cameron just like upping the ante like every minute. Like, even that moment, like King of the World moment where like we're in the front of the boat and it's so exciting. It's like, we need more. Add dolphins.
Yeah.
So like they're dolphins, you know, jumping in front of them.
It works though.
Also, when the ship is going down, they look at each other and they're like, "This is where we first met."
Yeah, maybe not now.
Remember later.
It was a lot campier this time than I remember.
Yeah.
Maybe I just have more of appreciation. So, what would you give this for camp, John?
It's real high for me. I'm gonna give it. I'm gonna give it an 80.
Yeah. 80.
Yeah, I'm gonna give it an 82.
82 or
82.
82. All right. Then I'm gonna go. Yeah, this is pretty. I don't. Also, the sincerity. It doesn't think it's campier,
yeah,
so that makes
right. That's definitely.
This is like true camp in a way. Mm-hmm. I think it's a new camp classic.
Yeah.
Sure, I can see that.
I'm gonna give it 87.
Okay.
Is this wild? Okay. Giving it an average of 83. Not number one. It's too hard for me to tabulate quickly. I need a second screen. All right, next category, makeover montage. Is there a makeover montage?
Yes, there is.
Okay, yes. There is one.
There absolutely
Lay it
is.
On me.
Do you want to go first?
Well, it's DiCaprio's makeover.
Mm-hmm.
When he goes from pauper to prince.
Yes. All right. I know you're going to get mad at this. It is a micro montage, but it is perfect. It is a perfect montage because it's literally him and Kathy Bates. And she's like, "What are you going to wear?" And then the next shot is him in a perfectly tailored suit. And she was like, "I knew my son's suit would fit you." It is a perfect, perfect distillation of a montage. And it is done in two shots. But it is absolutely a montage. montage. It is absolutely a makeover. It 100% counts. It 1,000% counts. That is a, it is the leanest makeover montage in the history of cinema, which is so ironic that it's in a, such a bloated, long movie that the movie would take as much time as it needed for them to walk down a hallway. But they have a makeover montage. It is lean. It is clean. It is crisp. There is a makeover montage in Titanic.
I think montage needs at least three shots.
Okay, personally. Well, that's Luke. Show me the definition where it says that.
In my mind, just okay. You gotta move through time multiple times. It's, I don't think going from one shot to another is enough for me. I do think there is one though when they put the ship into full steam ahead.
That's when a makeover montage.
The makeover could be saying the
direction
ship going faster.
Yeah. Okay.
A speed makeover.
Okay. All right. Okay. Sure.
But that one shot is not. That is not quite. It's not set to music or anything. It's not like that's pretty low of makeover montage.
I think it's pretty classic. I think it's like the cleanest.
It's definitely a makeover, but I would not call it a montage.
Well, all right, you can reflect that in your score, but I'm going to give it a 90 for makeover
90?
Montage.
90.
Yes.
That's insane.
Nope. It's perfect. I'm holding firm on this.
Okay.
Because I can imagine what a makeover montage would be in another film, I will only give it a 70.
Fair enough.
But it does, I immediately knew that there was one. Yeah. So
I would say there's a makeover. To me, it's not a montage. I'm giving it a 15.
Woo.
That's fair.
Okay.
I will be consistent with my values.
I don't think I'm being inconsistent.
No, I wouldn't say you were. I'm just thinking by myself. That's sure. All right, next category. Over-the-top wardrobe on a scale of 0 to 100.
I mean, tons. The hats alone.
There was also like color choices that like kind of dated it as the 90s. Mm. Like she has that orange belt dress. Like when he first sees Rose on the deck, I was like, very like something the Spice Girls would wear.
Mm.
That color.
Sure.
You know what I mean? It's like a metallic ravey kind of.
Uh-huh. Mm. I gotcha. Mm.
Yeah. I mean, there's all of her, every costume. I mean, all of them. They're ridiculous.
Yes. Yeah. They're all like the outfit out of 10.
Yeah.
Every single one of them.
Yeah. Do you know there's a catalog, J. Peterman? Is that a catalog?
Yeah.
That sold all of those outfits.
Wow.
And didn't sell them for much. Like, it would be like, I don't know. I mean, at the time when I would look at the catalog, it was an impossible sum of like $200.
Right.
But sure. $200 for a Titanic dress.
Pretty good.
Is now they've like accrued all this value because they were so hard to find.
Oh.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Get on eBay.
Yeah. You could, well, I don't know. What am I going to do with that dress?
Have your Titanic parties? I don't know. There's also that Halloween one again. Woman, Lady Duff Gordon, who designs woman lingerie.
Women black thing.
They designed her like,
thing.
We need a kooky lady.
Yeah.
Look kooky and rich.
Kooky and maybe as an Emmy. Great.
Yeah.
But she, it's pretty much all Rose is the most over the top.
True.
Yeah.
And well, also, Bill Paxton's earring.
Bill Paxton's earring.
Big, too.
Yeah, it's
really
a big.
Hoop.
But
it's
even
really
like,
big.
Like, what's her name? Gloria Stewart, like when she, at the very end, where she's like in like her slip of a nightgown in the cold ocean air, just walking out. It's so like, okay, we get it. She's crawling out of bed.
Do you think she died at the end? In bed?
Oh, I don't know. I do think I'm like sort of annoyed that she dropped the necklace in the ocean.
Oh, interesting.
Why? What do you think she, like, help your granddaughter out.
Yeah, exactly.
Sell it.
Sell it. Help the poor. You know what I mean? Like, there's no good in throwing it in the ocean.
Won't they just find it later?
Probably not.
Yeah, I mean,
they're always going to be looking at the Titanic,
right? But
yeah, but they're
like
not over
cruising,
the Titanic, and who knows
like,
where they're.
Oh, I see. Yeah,
somewhere completely else.
I thought they were still over the Titanic.
No,
calm
ocean water.
It's sometimes reads like she did it on accident.
Yeah.
You don't like hold it over the ocean if you're not planning on dropping
it. That felt like a good supporting actress moment for her. Like they were like, you toss it in the ocean, and she's like, how? And they're like, how would you do it? And she's like, oh, I got an idea.
We only got one of these, so you got one take.
So what are you going to give this on Over the Top Wardrobe, John?
I'll give it an 80.
80.
I'm going to give it a 90, and here's why.
90.
Because after you've seen all of these intense costumes that were all very, like, they're based on actual outfits from the era, then there's also a sequence at the end where you go over all her photographs and you see her in a bunch of other outfits that you don't, like, she's in, like, a pilot's outfit at one point.
Yeah, like a lookbook, right?
Yeah.
Those also like didn't look Photoshopped because for some reason movies can't ever Photoshop anybody.
Yeah,
like when they show like old photos, they always look awful.
Terrible, yeah.
But these look good. I think they were just real photographs.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe, yeah, that makes sense.
So what did I say? 90?
You said 90.
Yeah, it's a 90.
I'm going to give it 70.
Okay.
Hey, 70, 80, 90. Give it an average of 80.
I win.
All right, next category. Does it hold up on a scale of 0 to 100.
Yes.
I think the only thing that is maybe questionable are the Italian stereotypes.
Yeah, maybe. Jack smoking. They wouldn't do that now.
That's true. That wouldn't happen now.
Wait, why is... But he... But it's just the era past. Of them.
I know. I'm just saying, like, to me, I'm not deducting points from that. I'm just saying, like, oh, they wouldn't do that now. You wouldn't have your romantic lead smoking.
You think so?
In a PG-13 movie?
Like, no, I don't think they could. I think they would be have to
it
get
gets,
an
like,
R.
It gets, labeled
that,
in your ratings now, smoking.
No
in
way.
In most movies, people don't smoke anyway.
Huh.
They stopped it. Isn't that annoying?
Oh, well.
The only thing that I really thought was like, ooh, like cringy is like Rose comparing her trip on the Titanic to being on a slave ship.
Yes.
It's like, oh, yeah. It's not quite the same,
that stood
Rose.
Out for me, too. I was like, oh, no.
No,
Rose is canceled.
Yeah. And it's one of Gloria's lines, too. It's like, but to me, it was a slave ship. And you're it was not.
It was nothing like that. You were being pampered, lady. Yeah.
Incorrect.
Yeah.
But I do think, like, the one thing, like, the pro is maybe, like, the mother saying, like, you see she does come off as, like, this strident, mean mother. But then she has a scene where she explains why. Like, women, we have no power. All we have is marriage. We have
right,
no money.
Yeah. That's,
it is unfair.
Right. Yeah.
And also the whole sequel, all the effects, everything still works.
It still works.
It works as a movie.
Works. And I even think that the soundtrack is like still like that song doesn't sound particularly 90s. It sounds particularly cheesy.
Sure.
Right.
But it's
more like Celtic.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it kind of still works.
Like I've seen this a million times and I still get nervous watching it.
Yeah.
Because I think James Cameron is just that good of an action director. He has such a great handle of time, space and movement and editing. He's just a fantastic visual set, which is why it's a bummer he's doing these Avatars CGI.
No, it's not. Oh, you...
I think they're just...
They
compared to Titanic, though?
No, but I think...
Titanic,
I think,
there's tactile.
Yeah, it's sure.
Sure.
But I think that a year... I think there's a... I think he's got a good idea. Like,
I
there's
hope
no
so.
Way...
Do we know when Avatar 2 is coming?
Yeah, next year, December 2021. Okay.
December 2021.
And then
all right.
December, and then the 2 years after that'll be 3. 2 years after that will be 4. Because there's 3 being made right now simultaneously.
Crazy.
So the next decade is Avatar movies.
Yes.
So that take will be a seat, Marvel.
I can't wait.
The 2020. Well. So you're a big Avatar fan.
Or
are you just more interested in seeing what he's going to do?
I'm a James Cameron fan. I think that his... There's only one movie that does not... You can't... It's not good. Is True Lies.
Yes.
True Lies is not good. But The Abyss is incredible.
Okay, I haven't seen that one yet.
Ugh.
There's a scene in The Abyss in the middle that makes me cry, and it's because of the intensity.
You've never given up on anything in your life, you bitch.
You're
now fight,
damn
it, fight.
It's so good.
It's amazing.
And he wrote that, so I mean, he can write.
And Michael Biehn is a great creep in that movie.
Fuck yeah. All right, you got to see The Abyss.
Okay, he does like all his Michael Biehn movies are maybe his best ones.
Okay, yeah.
Aliens.
Yeah.
The first Terminator.
Yeah.
No, Terminator 2 is better than the first Terminator.
Yeah.
And then The Abyss.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I saw Underwater today, and it takes a lot of nods from The Abyss.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Would you recommend?
I would.
Okay.
I mean, don't expect a good movie. It's
gotcha.
Like a solid middle movie.
I mean, okay, TJ cool. Miller's in it. How good could it be? You know, so I'm going in cautious.
Yeah.
So what are you going to give this on? Does it hold up, John?
I think it holds up very well. I'm going to give it a 94.
94.
I'm going to give it a 97 the year it came out.
Oh, clever.
Apropos.
Clever.
I think I only just that one cringy line. So I'm going to go 98.
Wow. Okay.
This is giving it a 96.33, second only to, it's behind Hoosiers at a 98.33 and The Third Man, which has 97.33.
Third Man does hold up.
It's
The
great.
Third Man does hold up. Okay. Number one in that category, though. Your co-host, Mission Impossible Fallout, 99.33. Nick Wagner's movie. Time was
came
on
out
its
the
side.
The year before.
Gaming the system. Yep. All right, next category. Drag queen inspiration on a scale of 0 to 100. Could a drag queen watch Titanic and think, I got my looks for the week?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so too.
Like even just like the Celine Dion-ness of it, and that the heart of the ocean, and that like that move. Like there's definitely, there's not like a ton of like, oh, that's, you know, you're Kathy Bates and Titanic, but like there's You could be the woman out of it, singing,
telling a story to her children as water floods.
That's true.
It.
You could be the Titanic itself.
Yeah.
You could be the heart of the ocean.
Crack in half is your death drop.
There you go. Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
I think, you definitely could do some numbers out of this.
And I think people would know it immediately. Like, as soon as, like, if you...
that
if you
striped outfit she
wears.
They're
not going to be like, is that Boat Trip or Titanic? Yeah. I'm not sure.
Well, also, if you came out in, like, one of her dresses soaking wet, they yeah. would be like, great.
Perfect.
Yeah. That chef guy.
The chef?
The chef at the end. He's one of the guys holding on to the end of the boat. The cook.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Love
yeah.
him.
Love the cook.
So what would you give this on Drag Queen Inspiration?
Drag Queen Inspiration. I'm going to go, I'll go 83.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going that. I'll give it an 80.
80. Yeah, I think I'm going 80. Oops. I'm going 80 as well. I think 80 sounds right.
Great.
Okay.
Great. We're in agreement. Hold on. I accidentally did something wrong. So mm-hmm. I accidentally deleted the thing. I need to add 80 plus 80 plus 83 divided by 3 is...
That's 164 something.
Fuck, I don't know.
54 point something.
160. No, no, this is riveting.
Plus two.
Listening. 80, plus 83.
81.243
divided by 3. 81.
Okay.
81. Is that right?
I don't know.
Okay.
We're going to say yes. All right, next category. Thank you for hanging in there, listeners. Next category, caper music on a scale of 0 to 100. So music you could pull off a caper to.
Okay, there's like a bunch.
There's
like
a lot, actually.
Leo and his friend run to the ship. There's like a jaunty little jig that they play.
Yeah.
Running away from David Warner.
Yeah.
When they're going through the whole ship. It's like fun.
I think you could all even say that quartet as like people are getting in the lifeboats.
I mean, that's sad music.
It's sad, but like it's there. But it's like, but it's very like dramatic. And just the fact that they're like, you know what? Like they have the opportunity to stop playing and they're like, nope, this is who we are. We're going down with the ship. We're playing. Like, and I feel like that I give it points for that. Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah. I would say the party in the basement music, party mm-hmm. in the basement of the boat.
Party in the basement.
Boat basement party.
And I also think that if, depending on the, like if it was a heist style caper,
mm-hmm.
then you could use some of the sinking music also.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
But there's also just tons running away from a security guard. That's
yeah,
a form
of
the caper, I would say.
Sure.
Yep. Yep.
So what would you give this on caper music?
I'll give it a 75.
75.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, I'll go 80.
80. I'm going to go 85.
Okay. Wow.
That's a lot of caper music here.
All right.
Okay.
Fair.
All right. Next category. Teamwork. On a scale of 0 to 100.
I mean,
there's the crew.
The crew, guys making the ship go. That's,
yeah, yeah.
I didn't
yeah.
know what to call the guys shoveling the coal in.
Yeah.
That's
Stokers, I believe they're called.
The string quartet themselves.
The string
yeah.
quartet.
They have a
they're
chance
a great
to leave,
team.
But they stay together yeah. to die.
Yeah. There's an attempt at teamwork when the key is dropped and the guy runs back to help and then can't and
right,
then runs away again.
Such a human moment, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
It reminds us all of our humanity,
yeah.
doesn't it?
I tried for 50 seconds. Yeah. I'm sorry. That's all I got.
I'm sorry. But I'm sorry.
That's it. There's a lot of... Oh, there. The guy comes back to rescue everybody. Jon Grefold.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's kind of...
There's a lot of teamwork by rich people to keep the poor people out of their boats.
Is that?
Yes. Mm-hmm. You're good for them.
There's a teamwork by the Carpathia. When they come back to
right.
pick everybody up.
Oh, that's right.
And whole the opening, the guy's working that sub.
That's
the,
right.
The little seeker sub thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I think there's a lot of teamwork in
there's
Titanic.
Teamwork.
Yeah, he loves that teamwork.
He loves a team.
Yeah.
He's like a teamster type.
So what would you give this on teamwork?
I'll give it an 82 for teamwork.
82.
I'm going to give it a 90.
All right.
90. Okay. I'm going to go 88. Sure, why not?
Okay.
I can see why the Muppet movie is your... gayest movie.
Oh, just you wait.
All right, next category. On a scale of 0 to 100, how likely are you to recommend this to gay people?
Oh,
so a little child comes up to you and says, I've discovered I'm
Anne Heather, I'm
searching
gay.
Anne Heather, I'm gay.
Well,
what movie should I watch?
As a as a young gay girl, I really liked watching DiCaprio and imagining that he was a like a dykey.
Oh, sure.
Girl,
oh, yeah.
Because mm-hmm. he's really kind of effeminate and
yeah.
beautiful.
Yeah.
He's also great in this movie, I would say. I think, I'm surprised I think he's better than Kate Winslet in this, even.
Mm.
So I think he just carries the movie effortlessly.
Yeah, he does.
I think so. I do think he feels a little contemporary in a way that. Sure. A lot of the rest of them don't, which mm-hmm. I think works for his character because he does feel like of a different world than them.
Right.
Yeah.
But I could see where like Kate Winslet feels more like of the world of the movie, The Prestige.
They
yeah.
love a rich person in mm-hmm. Hollywood.
Yeah. I think I would recommend it if just to be like, you know, take every day as it comes and make
sure.
it count.
Sure, sure.
Don't let go.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there are lessons.
Like in a general way, yeah. Sure.
Live your life. Go on a biplane ride.
Mm-hmm. I mean, also, like, if it was like a young person who hadn't come out yet, you show them the movie and they might come out that night.
Maybe, like, today's
they might be
the,
like,
scene
fuck.
The day.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you never know when the ship's going to hit an iceberg.
Yeah.
A metaphor, if I ever heard one. Are there metaphorical implications to Titanic? Let's talk about it. What would you give this, John? How likely are you?
I have to say, I'm not going to rate it that high in this one because it's not one of those things. Like, if I found out someone was gay and hadn't seen Titanic, I wouldn't be like, "Wait a minute, no, you have to see Titanic."
Yeah,
right.
You're out of the club.
But it's if someone was like, "Should I see it?" I'd be like, "Yeah, I mean, like, you should see it. It's tied with Ben Hur for the most Oscars, and it's tied with All About Eve
a movie
for most
we
nominations."
All love.
So I'll go. I'm gonna go.
73. 75. Pretty high.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I really feel like you show this to a gay person and if they haven't come out, they come out at the end. That I'm gotcha. Convinced of that.
I think it's pretty much a must see for everyone, really. But for mm-hmm. gay people seeing it now, I'm like, oh, this is so campy. The memes, kids love memes.
They
these
love a
days.
Meme.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You gotta get the memes, you gotta make the memes. Mm-hmm. The 90s are back, I've been told.
Yep, mm-hmm. 90s are back.
So I'm going to give it a 68.
Okay.
All righty.
All right, next category. On a scale of 0 to 100, how much felt is in this movie? Now, felt is a process, not an actual material.
Okay. So
we've learned. But I'm sure there's a ton of it just because of the period costumes. But the one time I was like, oh, that's definitely felt, was the interior of the car where they fuck.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Oh, the upholstery.
Yeah, yeah, the upholstery, yeah.
I love the one security guard goes, gotcha, to be denied.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've never done that to anybody. Open a door and went, gotcha.
Well, neither did he.
That seems like fun. Aren't like, wool is felt.
Is it?
Yes.
If
I
you say
Googled
so.
It. Wool
okay.
is felt.
Okay.
This movie is all wool.
Yeah, there's a ton of wool then.
All the coats, mm-hmm. all yeah. the blankets people are wearing.
That's right.
Yeah. All the hats.
Yeah.
His hats.
Are there pool tables that we see on screen?
Oh, I don't think there
don't
is.
I don't remember.
I feel like we would have seen it when it was...
yeah, that's definitely yeah. would have been a fun those. One to be like, yeah. whoa, where's it going?
A close-up yeah. of the eight ball going yeah, to the yeah. So what would you give
so
this
for
one?
Felt, then I guess I'm going to go 80.
Yeah, I guess there's a lot of felt. I did
you
not
didn't
know,
notice
so
it?
I'll take 80.
I will also go 80.
Okay.
We got 80. Pretty high for felt. Next category, facial hair on a scale of 0 to 100. I mean, so almost every other man had a big bushy mustache.
There's a yes. lot of mustaches. There was that, yeah. again, in the...
The
in
captain.
The captain had the very
great beard.
Great
Theoden
beard.
From Lord of the Rings. That's where
who's
I knew
that?
Him from. He was the king who was like corrupted.
Oh, that's
oh,
right.
Wow,
that's
it
right.
Is.
Yeah. That is him.
Great.
Bill Paxton's friend who sort of looked like a Seth Rogen guy. He
yeah.
had a big beard
oh, yeah,
in the beginning.
Beard.
Yeah.
He had a big beard. There was a guy, when they were getting on the Titanic, there was a guy just getting, there was just a shot of a guy getting shaved with a straight razor.
Oh. Yeah.
The guy
oh,
who owns
also,
the ship.
There's also somebody being checked for lice with a,
oh,
with a,
yeah.
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
There's a beard there.
What's the Italian friend? He had a little mustache.
Fabrizio.
Going on. Fabrizio.
He had a mustache.
He had a little bit of facial hair going
yeah,
on there.
He's
yeah.
He's got like a little mm-hmm. guy.
But almost every other character, like in the background, was like 50% mustache.
There's a ton yeah. of mustaches in this one.
Yeah, this is a lot of facial hair.
What would you give it, John?
For facial hair, I'm gonna go 80.
80.
Dude, this is a 90 facial hair.
But I feel like Leo didn't have it. Victor Garber didn't have it. Billy Zane didn't have it.
But if you have like three people and then like
but
literally
like the leads.
1,500 dudes died with facial hair on.
It was kind of 50-50, I think, with the extras. But yeah.
So you don't give just as much weight to the background as you would to the above the line.
The foreground.
In this movie, yes.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of, like, it's not like one guy with one good
it's
mustache.
So many mustaches.
All life is a game of luck.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to give an 85.
Okay.
Give it an average of 85.
Okay.
All right, next category. Shattered glass on a scale of 0 to 100.
Okay, I mean, like, yeah. There's a ton.
There's, I mean, it started slow. I was like, yeah, watch it, because I now keep track of these. I was like, there's not a lot so far. But then you're like oh.
yeah. Before the end, though, we had... Billy Zane has his breakfast tantrum, and he threw a bunch of plates
yep.
around
yes.
that. We had then when they were dancing the jig, some glasses of beer
falls
got
down.
Dropped over, and yep. then there was when she broke the glass to get the axe
yep.
to save mm-hmm. Leo, yep. and then okay. the
Billy
ship
Zane
sank
shoots
and
a window.
yeah. Yeah.
Also, glass breaking plays into when that one action scene where it breaks and it sucks people in.
Yeah,
so scary.
It's pretty scary. Like,
yeah.
and then the big skylight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Shattering.
And that's a real skylight.
That was a real skylight.
They didn't just make water. That.
What? That's crazy.
There's amazing. A lot of glass.
A ton of shattered glass in this one.
Yeah.
Wow.
The captain at the bridge when the water up above it.
Crashes right into
him. So scary. Like, how do you even shoot that? Like, you're just going to stand there and then we're going to shatter this glass.
Yeah. I mean, James Cameron says, you're going to fucking stand there and we're going to shatter the glass. And you go, okay.
I'm going to be yelled at because that's probably better than being yelled at by James Cameron.
But then you're also like, I'm going to be in like the biggest movie of all time until this guy makes another one. So yeah, I'll risk it.
So what would you give this on Shattered Glass?
I'm going to give it a 94.
Yeah, I'm going to give this another 97 for the
97. I like your thinking. Yeah, I think because shattering glass plays into like three different plot elements.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's still not John Wick 3.
That's true. That's his.
I have to have somewhere to go. Standard, yeah. But I will give it a 99.
There okay. It is. All
giving right. it a 96.67, second only to Gremlins, which has a 98.67.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Great. Okay. Next category, the male gaze. So, how horny is the camera for the male form? Like, how much is their intent behind?
There's not a lot in this one.
No.
James Cameron
there's
is
one
pretty
shirtless
heterosexual.
Guy, barely.
Yeah.
We see plenty of nipples.
So many nipples.
And there's an opportunity for it in the coal shoveling room. Like, you could, really linger on those bodies.
That could have been, like, Battleship Potemkin all over again.
Yeah, yeah, there's not really...
He's pretty straight. I guess he's straight.
I guess
he's
is
really
straight.
You want to know if someone's gay? Have them direct a movie.
The camera doesn't lie.
The camera doesn't lie. Oh, they're choosing to focus on that? Oh, look who they cast in those background roles. They're so pretty. Interesting, Brian Singer. So what would you give this on the male gaze, Joan?
I'm going to have to go real low on this one. I'm going to give it a 6.
Yeah.
6.
I'm going to give it a 5. Okay. I'm going to go lower than you.
Wow, okay.
5.
Fair.
I'll give it I'm going to give it a 3. Like anything that we did have was like accidental.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, next category, angry phone hangups on a scale of 0 to 100. Does anyone
There's
talk?
One.
There's one, yeah.
Yeah, it's iceberg dead ahead and the guy goes, "Roger." And hangs up.
Yeah, the nest to the captain. It's like, "What?" Hang up. Yeah. That is it.
Yeah.
That's it, right?
Yep.
That's the only phone in the whole movie, I think.
Pretty much.
Yep.
So what would you give that now? How much does that
correlate? Like, it's one, but it is iconic. It's the moment. It's really what brings us into the third act of the movie.
Sure.
So for that, I'll give it a 23.
It's one. It's just one. 15.
Yeah. 15. Mm-hmm. I'll give it a 9. I really okay. Also, like the guy looking, they kind of implicate Jack and Rose for like the whole thing happening because the guy's looking at them and not looking for icebergs.
Yeah.
Also, don't like when Billy Zane's shooting and he like shoots like a thing at the end of the staircase, the knob thing.
Uh-huh. Oh, right.
Like, well, that's like not historically accurate.
How do we know?
Is there bullet holes in a thing?
I mean, it's been rotted. We
don't
know.
True.
Who knows?
I don't know. It just bothered me in historical sake. Mm-hmm. All right, next category, titular theme song. On a scale of 0 to 100.
Yeah.
It's the titular
theme song. Do. It's credited both ways because I do want
it. I checked it. Yeah. It does. In parentheses says love theme from Titanic. So technically, Titanic is part of the title of the song.
My Heart Will Go On.
My Heart Will Go On.
So wait, what are you saying? I'm saying that.
We're saying yes, there is a titular theme song.
The title of the movie is in the official title of the song.
Yeah. I don't think there is a more iconic theme song for a movie ever.
Goldfinger.
I think a James Bond one might be a little more.
Because I think if they said Titanic in the lyrics.
If somewhere she sang Titanic.
That would bump it up.
It would just give it a little more.
But so it's not 100 for me.
She's talking about the heart of the ocean, but also about, and she's quoting dialogue.
There was that version of the song. When they put dialogue from the movie and played it on the radio? What a simpler time.
I think that. Yes, like Live and Let Die is like, oh, that's the name of the movie.
Sure.
Right, you know?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
But like, this is the one.
This is what we think of when we think. If you ask someone, name
movie
a song from a movie,
you're
going to say this one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to be like Goldfinger.
I would.
Depends on the corner you're asking.
I'm very old.
I'm going to go 98.
98.
I'm going 100 on this.
100. I'll go 99.
Okay.
It's just if she said Titanic in there.
Yeah.
On Titanic.
Like at the end.
All right. Next category. Entrances with pizzazz on a scale of 0 to 100?
I think both Kate Winslet and Kathy Bates have great entrances.
Yes. And the ship itself.
The ship itself has a fun entrance.
Yeah. The hat, the tilt up of the hat. That's so great.
Yeah, just
burned into our brains.
Yeah.
You can even
you
say
see
that
her,
like
her hand first. You see all the cars show up and all the luggage and like they're really selling you who
they really
this woman
build
is.
It up. Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
she hasn't changed that about herself. I like she still arrives with a lot of luggage.
Yeah.
We never see that dog again.
That was weird, the dog.
The dogs all died.
Oh, no.
No, I mean, I think that, I think one of them survives. I could be wrong. We should Google it.
No, you mean the, like, the emotional support dog she has
her
in the beginning
old,
when
she's
like,
older.
When Gloria Stewart shows up.
Oh,
so, like, getting her off of, like, a helicopter in
but
a...
I hadn't thought about the dog sign. Yeah. I did Google, like, were any gunshots on? Were there any gunshots on? And they said, maybe. We don't know. So what would you give this on? Entrance
with Pizzazz. I would give it... 55. I feel like those two had great entrances. And also you could even count like the reveal of like Leo at the top of the staircase. So, like those are kind of entrances as well.
But there's if you're going to count the boat as a character, which it might be, there's that initial shot underwater of the ship and like that's beautiful. I'm going to give it a 65.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Rose coming down the step. Yeah, 65 you said?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give it a 70. I think there's quite a few in here and like I think this is what we were taught in film school. Being able to shoot an entrance is like half of directing. It's like he knows what he's doing. Like he just reveals the character in the little bits of editing.
Sure,
I don't
sure.
know what I'm talking about. All right, next category. Non-traditional murder weapons on a scale of 0 to 100.
So
there's one for sure.
Yeah.
What's that?
The propeller.
The propeller was one. I thought, all right, hear me out on this one. The metal gate. When like Kate and Leo like can't get out because there's a
sure
that's sort of like that's gonna cause them to die.
Okay.
And also when that smokestack fell on that one guy.
Yeah.
You call that murder?
The boat is.
I mean,
murdering
he was killed.
At that point.
Why do you think you could say like the lack of life, folks? Because of aesthetics,
so indifference.
Okay. So like the blood, like because you would say like their people's blood is on their hands, on the owner's hands.
Yes,
right.
Like you could probably have a class action lawsuit or civil suit,
right?
Or he could be sued for negligence,
right? Yeah.
So I think he is guilty of murder.
There's also the guy who's like, I really want it to be in the newspapers,
right?
So like death by press,
by seed, yeah.
And he's the one who's like so shameful, he like shouldn't have taken the spot
but
on
he
the
did.
Boat.
Yeah. Wouldn't say anything.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what would you give this on non-traditional
for unconventional
murder weapons?
I will go 72.
Wow.
72.
Okay. I was thinking more in the 50s because there's not a lot of murder.
Not a lot of murder.
So, but people die.
It's more manslaughter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Fair. But if you count, if you think that human negligence elevated to a scale that large is murder, then a lot of people die.
Yeah.
Right. I guess you'd have to prove that he knew that iceberg was coming and that they're going to hit it.
Oh, well, they got
otherwise it would be manslaughter. Right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, if they had hit it head on, they would have been fine, they say.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Isn't that, I mean, it doesn't, then we would never, ever think about Titanic.
Then
we
never get this wonderful movie.
Oh. Yeah. 55.
Then Ben-Hur would have all the Oscar nominations.
Nobody wants to live in that world. I'm going to give it a 45.
Okay.
All right, next category, breath acting on a scale of 0 to 100.
I'm sorry. What?
Breath acting?
Breath
you know,
acting
via breath?
Here are some of my
the number
nominations
one movie
this
on this is Scream.
Breath?
Just like, I think it's to like when you're using your breath in a very specific different way.
Oh.
So the first time Kate Winslet runs away,
right.
she's very like.
Right.
And
right.
then we actually get a shot right next to that. There's a shot of Leo just like on the boat looking up and it's cold and he breathes and you see like the smoke.
Yeah.
So that's like telling us something, that's making choices. Yeah. And I also think.
That's making, what was the choice?
It's making choices
stand
like,
there and breathe.
Oh, it's cold. Okay, right. We know. All right, so now we know that's been established.
That was CGI breath though, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go. So then it was definitely a choice. It wasn't just a thing that happened.
Sure.
Right.
And then I think once all the people, like once the ship has gone down and you just have those thousands of people screaming.
Ugh,
that
horror show.
That is breath acting.
There's also two scenes. There's after the table gets knocked over by Billy Zane. She has like a panic attack and can't breathe.
Right.
And she's And then also when her mother is corseting her up, lack of breath is adding to the tension of that scene.
Yes, that's true.
And is blowing a whistle breath acting? I would say so.
Okay. Yeah.
She saves her life
that's
via
true,
whistle.
That's true.
You got to breathe to
You gotta breathe to whistle.
You gotta breathe to whistle.
Yeah.
That's from Anything Goes, I believe. So what would you give this on breath acting?
I'll give it an 80.
80.
Yeah, I went into this thinking, not a lot of breath acting, but I'm going to give it 88.
It's mostly breath. I was also thinking, like, when they're shooting that, how much acting do you really have to do? Like, when you're running in water, and, like, you're just doing that and trying not to die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're great. I'll give it a, this is my least favorite category, but I'll give it a 85.
All righty.
Mm-hmm. All right, next category, mannequins on a scale of 0 to 100.
I mean, I think some of the bodies in the water have got to be mannequins.
Yeah. Yes.
But they aren't plain. They aren't really mannequins, though.
They aren't.
Those are dummies.
Wait.
Well, he gets real like,
I say
weird
mannequin,
about this
a department store mannequin. That's a mannequin.
So is the category, are there fake people in the movie?
It's all we have to go on is mannequin. So
however
mannequin.
You wish to interpret that, you may. I have considered those... Annie dummies that like people.
He said a snowman was a mannequin.
A snowman could be a mannequin.
I say unless it's in a department store window.
Yeah,
he has very specific. Yeah,
it's mannequins.
Yeah, I suppose if it was.
Must be nice to see the world so simply, Mark.
It is.
Yeah, I guess if the category was dummies, then we'd be like, oh yeah, of course. Uh-huh. There's like 1,000.
Right.
But there aren't any mannequins
in
this movie.
I don't think so. Not even a dress form.
Yeah, no, there's not.
You didn't give any points for that last week.
I know, but I was like, that's something.
Yeah, no. Nope.
Mm-hmm. So what are you going to give it, John? 72?
I'm going to give it a 12.
12?
Zero.
Zero. Big old goose egg for mannequins.
All right.
James Cameron really dropped the ball. I'm giving it a zero as well.
So it gets a four.
Four. Mm. Very good, John.
Thank you.
Next category, dramatic lighting on a scale of 0 to 100.
There's a ton.
It's all like...
Especially like when they're going underwater, all this stuff's dramatic.
The flashing strobe effect.
Also, like the first half of the movie is either blue or gold. Like the whole thing is either blue or gold. And that's dramatic lighting.
Yeah.
I feel like now they would have shot that like on a soundstage somewhere and then just like green screened the sky. But like you could tell they're really on location somewhere.
Yeah.
And it just
makes
works.
A difference.
Yeah.
And also, you get that classic James Cameron blue at the end.
Yeah.
This could be a shot from Aliens. This could be a shot from Terminator 2. He loves that cool blue.
Yeah,
and
he
I love it. I find that blue very comfortable. I have a Millennium Falcon lamp for my room, and you can change colors for it.
Uh-huh.
I choose the blue all the time.
Just
when
keep
I'm
it on the
movies.
Blue.
Yeah. Mm.
It's nice and relaxing.
Sure. Yeah, it is.
Soothing.
What are you going to give it for
Terminator? I'm going to give it a 78.
78.
I'll give it a 95.
95.
There's a lot of dramatic lighting in this movie.
Yeah, it's pretty like that strobe effect is really. So the drama of like lighting going off.
Yeah,
and ever going.
Yeah. Or like the shots of just like the ship is like little tiny light and there's a little tiny flare.
Yeah.
The fireworks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then the subs at the opening.
Yeah.
Yep. All that stuff.
Yeah.
Great. I'm gonna give it a 94.
Okay.
I struggled with that one.
Did,
all right, next category. Don't worry, we only have about 12 left.
Okay, great.
Hope you have nowhere to be tomorrow.
No.
Next category, strident women on a scale of 0 to 100. Now, we're pretty loose. Strident could be like a woman who's like just stands up for herself.
Yeah, an assertive woman.
I don't treat strident women like I do mannequins.
Well, there's...
okay, well, we could unpack that. I think you think it's Kathy Bates, but it's really Frances Fisher.
Okay. Okay.
Molly Brown.
Right, that's Kathy Bates.
Oh, right.
Wait, Rose like full-blown smokes. Like
that's true.
And it's true.
It would be...
She like runs away
she
whenever
spits
she
in Billy Zane's face.
Yeah.
Literally
that.
Spits
yeah.
in his face.
Spits mm-hmm. in his face.
Rose's mother. She wants everyone to know Jack is poor.
Yeah, I mean, it's really all about her. Like, she's doing the lion's
so
share.
So rude.
She wants to, so people won't know that she might have to be a seamstress one day.
Yeah. I love the lady who's like, will you hold the boat? I just need to go get, and they just pick her up and throw her in the boat.
Yeah.
She's pretty strident.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
For strident women, I'm going to go 68.
68.
Mm-hmm.
Those three ladies who don't want to have brunch with Molly Brown?
Yeah. Oh, get up, get up, get up, get up. 75.
75. Yeah, if they were like bigger, I guess they are pretty big. All right, I'll give it a 72. Yeah, okay. Great. Pretty okay. Strident. All right, next category, fun fonts on a scale of 0 to 100.
Yep, fun fonts. You heard that correctly. There's not a ton.
Not the stuff. Opening credits are fine.
Sure. Here's a pitch I'm gonna make, which I know you're not gonna buy. But they say a picture is worth 1,000 words, and there's a lot of drawings in this that are fun.
No, John.
So
no,
that
John,
maybe...
don't go down this road. Drawings are not fonts.
I don't know.
John, just, no. I'm just like trying to think of like ways because there's it's
I
a
think
pretty
the font
like
on the
font.
Titanic itself where it says Titanic. That yeah, looks great.
That's great. I think
that's can't think
font.
Of it right now.
I think every time like you see the White Star Line logo throughout, mm-hmm, and that's right, all authentic fontage.
All the mm-hmm, authentic fonts look. All the movie fonts though are bad. Like the end credit fonts, I hate.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
It could be from any generic. Right. Like Canon Group movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's where James Cannon. Also, that's you see the mail, the lack of the
right,
gay
right, right.
And those end
how these letters
fonts
land on the eye.
There's
yes,
not a lot of text in the
no,
movie
no,
at all. Mm-mm. Other than like on the plates and on the menus. Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
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 So if you're font hungry, I would maybe yes, Titanic not your first choice.
Yes. No.
20.
Yeah, I'll go. I'm going to go 18.
18. Yeah, I'm going to go 15. Hmm. Not a lot of great fonts.
No.
Okay.
All right, next category, cheerworthy cameos. On a scale of 0 to 100.
There aren't really cameos in this
no,
movie.
The only one is like James Cameron's hands, because he's
yeah,
the one
oh,
doing
right,
the drawing.
He does the
yeah,
drawing.
Yeah, he does the drawing.
But are we cheering for that?
Do we know it's his hand? Like, I feel like a cameo, you know it's that person.
Well,
right.
But his, I mean, if you were paying attention, Jack's hands are suddenly old.
That's
so
true.
You're like,
right,
whoa!
What happened? He's had great plastic surgery.
Yeah, also it's weird, like, he wasn't, I mean, clearly he's not drawing naked Kate Winslet because
we
that
hope,
would be such an audacious thing for the director mm-hmm,
oh,
to
yeah,
do.
In Hollywood, it would never happen.
Never.
So I don't know.
I hope he didn't.
Yeah, that's the only cameo in the entire thing,
mm-hmm,
right?
Yeah,
I think so.
Well, and you don't cheer for it. Three.
Three.
I'm going to go 0.
Wow, John.
I was excited to say, oh, it's James Cameron's hands, if you guys didn't know that. But you guys
right,
knew it. Yeah.
Mm. I'm giving it a 2.
Okay.
I knew it.
You knew it.
All right, next category. Memorial moments. Is there moments where we stop and think of all those we've lost?
I mean, the whole movie
on
is
the
that,
ship Titanic.
Yeah.
The entire movie is that.
Yeah.
The whole movie is a memorial moment.
Yeah. Like, Paxton, I didn't let it in, whatever he
yeah,
says. Like,
yeah. The problem was love. Anytime you open in sepia tone, I
yeah,
feel like that's
yeah, yeah,
a memorial moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everyone dying while the orchestra is playing that whole montage.
Yeah.
Of the,
yeah,
the old couple holding. I think that's mm-hmm, what gets to
yeah,
everybody.
Yeah.
I think that's what gets to people.
I think that's it.
Jack mm-hmm, telling Rose, have a good life.
Yep. You get to see when Jack dies. That's like a full memorial
yeah,
moment as he mm-hmm, fades away into darkness.
The priest giving
yeah,
mass
yep,
at the end.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sad.
So sad.
Yeah.
So sad.
So what would you give this for memorial moments, John?
I'm going to give it a 91.
91.
This is 100 for me.
100. Yeah, I don't know what else a movie would need to do to feel more obsessed with death. I'm going to give it 100.
All righty.
All right, next category. A feels song. Is there a song in this movie that puts you in your feels? That's different than does My Heart Will Go On put you in your feels?
I really do like the song when they're partying in the below decks.
The Irish like jig.
I yeah, think also like the when the that quartet is like,
yep,
that's
we're
good,
gonna do it, and
yeah,
then they just start playing
yeah,
again.
Yeah.
So like that definitely does put you in the, puts me somewhere.
Yeah, it does.
Emotionally.
Yeah.
Yep.
I agree. So what are you gonna give it, John?
I'm gonna give it an 80 for that.
80.
Heather.
80. I'll give it an 80 as well. Yeah. All right. Next category. Macabre? How macabre is Titanic?
I mean...
a like, boat going through like, a sea of corpses?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't there like a dead baby? In
I
like
so,
somebody's arms?
Yeah.
I think,
right?
Well, you do see that mother like putting her two sons to sleep when you
yeah,
know that like
ugh,
they're
going to
die.
There's a frozen baby in the water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty rough.
I also think just the scene where Kate Winslet spits in Billy Zane's face is pretty macabre.
Yeah. There's that one shot of where Jack and Rose are kissing after like the whole like she's flying thing, and the ship dissolves. Like, so it looks like they're standing on like a rotten Pirates of the Caribbean ship.
Yeah.
Like, there's something like macabre about that to me. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, they're like doomed.
There's also like the part where the guy is like trying to help everyone, and then he shoots himself before the ship gets sink.
Jesus Christ. Oh boy. Grim camp.
Very grim.
So what are you going to give it,
John? I'm
going
to give it a 62.
62.
Oh, I'm going 90.
90. Yeah, I think this is pretty... I also don't think it knows how macabre it is.
Yeah, it doesn't. Right.
Yeah. I don't know. So, that, I don't, yeah. 92.
Frozen baby.
This movie. Okay. For a PG-13. All right. Next category. Vibrato.
Okay, so when this was pitched, in addition to the literal sort of singing vocal vibrato, it was also pitched as something like extra, like a movie that does like a little more, like it zhuzhes up like choices. And I think if that's the case, yeah.
He built the ship. Like, isn't that extra?
I think actually this whole movie is extra because like James Cameron, like everything, like he gives everything has more moments than it needs and more beats. Like like when
Billy
Kate Winslet and like Leo are like running out of like him being trapped. It's not just like they run out. It's like, oh, they run out. Oh, wait, there's a child there that Leo has to pick up. And then like the father comes in and the father takes the child back. And then like, but then they die. And then it's like, and then they go to the gate. They can't just like run up. It's like, oh, but now there's the gate and we don't have a key. And this guy comes and he's going to help, but he drops it. And then he runs away. And it's just like, we could have cut a lot of these story beats. There's a lot like this did not have to be 3 hours and 15 minutes.
So
I think this whole movie is just so like zhuzhed. It's so vibrato. To me, all of it is.
I think there's also the one thing he's changed. There's two things that he's changed. He took out a painting because he didn't have the rights to show it. But then when it was released for home video, but there is another thing he changed, which is that Neil deGrasse Tyson emailed him and said, the stars that Jack is looking at are wrong. And so he changed the stars so that they matched what you would have seen if you had been on the Titanic that night.
Wow.
I think that's super extra.
That's very if you're just trying to please Neil deGrasse Tyson, that's a lost
cause. How much was that? How much did that note cost? I want to know.
$50,000.
At least.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So what are you going to give this for vibrato?
For vibrato, for me, it's like a 94.
Also,
like it's so extra.
Celine song
itself.
Mm-hmm.
100.
100. Yeah, I think I have to give it 100 as well. I mean, if not this, then what? Given an average of 98, John.
It's pretty good.
Nice.
Second only to Meet Me in St. Louis, which was the inaugural category, which has 100.
Literal vote. Yeah. Judy Garland.
Yeah.
All right, next category, wigs. On a scale of 0 to 100.
I mean, for Billy Zane alone.
That is a wig, yes. And I think Kate Winslet is wearing a wig.
I'm sure she's
got
hair pieces going on in there. They all have to.
Yeah. Kathy Bates, probably.
Francis
Fisher,
I bet like she had like one of those rings of hair. You know what I mean? She's definitely got a piece.
Yeah, I think the hair department, I mean, I can imagine the hair department being lots and lots and lots of wigs because you also wouldn't want to do all of the extras hair work every time.
That would take forever.
So it would just be wig, 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 wig.
Mm-hmm. No one has that kind of time.
Yeah. And then all the frozen wigs.
Yeah. Yeah.
John, what are you going to give it?
For wigs, I think for Billy Zane alone, because it's so iconic, I'll give it a 87.
87. I'm going to give it a 45. This is not too wig crazy.
What?
Okay.
Yeah, it's just the one Billy Zane. Like, for like, it's not so much, like, even Kate Winslet, they're just not, they don't pop as wigs to me.
Okay.
Gotcha. They're still trying to resemble reality.
Yeah.
Right.
All right, next.
Oh, I didn't know that was like, are the wigs like fake wigs? Or are there a lot of wigs?
The 100 would be like, you know, Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So it's a spectrum.
Okay, great.
Themes of mothers on a scale of 0 to 100.
I mean, there's definitely stuff there.
A bunch of mothers saying goodbye, lullabies to her children while the water's rushing in.
Yeah.
It's true.
There's the main mother relationship.
Yeah, the mother, the corset scene.
Yeah.
And there's the whole scene where she sees the other mother adjusting her daughter. No, sit up straight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Little shit, come on, on the Titanic.
There's also like a moment where like Jack is like being like, you got to go live and have lots of babies. And like, like define yourself.
You're fertile. Do it.
Yeah. Fly a plane, but have babies.
Mm-hmm. That'd be great if she told him, is that what I'm worth to you? Jack.
Shove.
Yeah. Later.
Yeah, it has all that stuff, but I don't think like it drives really anything. So for me, I'm gonna go 30.
30.
50.
50?
Okay.
Yeah. Well, there's like the main the whole film's tension comes from the fact that she's not doesn't want to piss off her own mom.
That's true.
That's true.
Yeah, I'll give it a 50. Yes. Okay. You convinced me. That was easy. All right. Next category. Pool trouble. Well, okay. The ship does become a pool.
Yeah, I was thinking like that is a pool. I
it
think
is a
when
pool
it's the
now,
ship,
right?
It's like, yeah.
And they shot all of the sinking stuff in the largest pool
sound
there
system.
Is,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah,
soundstage.
Yeah. I think this is like this is I and this is you're in trouble if you're in the pool in Titanic.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gremlins is the bar. Well, right now it's nine. I gave it. It has a 93.33. Not that that should affect our scores.
No, not at all.
Gremlins has some severe pool trouble.
Yeah, yeah. It really takes a turn because of that pool. I'm gonna give this. It is a sort of a weird thing of like it's kind of the ocean, it's kind of the pool. I got a little talking out the side of your mouth, but I still think 92.
It's weird that there was no pool on the Titanic.
I wonder,
I feel like it's standard now.
I wonder if that was a thing then. To be like, oh, have a pool on
like,
a
I'm
ship.
I'm not going in my bathing suit.
I'm sure they had a spa, right?
The bathing suits were like a three-piece suit.
With a weird, like, there's like a saddle attached to like two bike pedals.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what that
old
is.
old exercise equipment.
85.
I'm going to give it a 80. We're being pretty loose with the definition of pool. All right, next category, quips on a scale of 0 to 100. How quippy is Titanic?
I mean, it's got a lot of clunky quips, I would say.
Yes.
Like the first one that sort of popped in my mind while watching it was when Leo, like when he's gambling, he's like, if you got nothing to, like, you've got nothing to lose. You know what I mean? Stuff that feels like it's almost like it's just trying to make memes before anyone knew what they were.
Yeah.
The but one, it's like clunky. Like there's not, you're not, you don't like.
He should have hired Carrie Fisher for a pass.
A Carrie Fisher pass
on Titanic would have been great.
Come on.
Yeah, there's the one line he says, you want to walk a little faster through that valley there when they're going up the steps.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's like saying as I walk through the valley of death.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's nothing that you're really, like, what would you quote from Titanic?
I mean, I can quote
King
a
of
lot,
the world.
But not quips.
No. You unimaginable bastard, maybe?
Maybe. If someone said that, would you be like, that's Titanic?
Rose is displeased. What to do? There's that.
Yeah.
That's
weird.
What are you
it's not really
quip?
Quippy. I'm going to go, I'll go 17.
17.
Yeah.
20. 20? Giving it a 5.
Wow.
Okay.
I am not coming to Titanic for the quips. I'm coming for the slips. All right. Next category. Sassy best friends.
I mean, it's
Fabrizio?
Kathy Bates. She helps. She's,
I mean,
definitely
she's
sassy.
The unsinkable Molly Brown.
Yeah. She's
The one who's like, come on, girls. Let's grab them oars.
But she kind of disappears after a while.
Yeah.
She spends most of the time in that rowboat.
Yeah.
A little bit doing that one montage just really like wore her out.
I don't remember a montage.
There was a montage. It was definitely there. We remember it. The two of us remember
Weird.
It.
I don't know.
You should be a better host.
I guess so.
I guess she also is like, you know, pretend you own a gold mine and then everybody will treat you like you're rich.
Yeah.
Whatever the fuck.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. But she's the only one. There's not. Yeah. It's not.
No.
Really,
even Fabrizio is not particularly funny.
Yeah,
and he really disappears. Like once Leo finds a woman,
and then he dies.
Pops up and dies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go. I'll go 9 for Kathy Bates.
Yep, 10.
10. I'll go 12 for Kathy Bates, just because it's Kathy Bates.
Yeah. Sure,
she always brings some.
She brings a little sass.
All right, next category: shawls.
Lots of shawls.
There's tons of shawls.
Lots of shawls. Surprising amount of shawls.
Tons of shawls. There's a lot of I'm gonna go right to 85 on 85. Shawls.
Wow, that's
There's
pretty strong.
So many fucking
there
shawls.
There are a ton of shawls.
Are you counting like blankets worn as shawls or just shawls alone?
Yes, shawls.
Yeah.
Great. I did notice there's specifically one woman at the jig scene.
But like Kate Winslet and her mother both wear shawls for a lot of it too.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go. What did you give it?
I think for 85% of the movie, there is a shawl on
somewhere
screen.
Somewhere on screen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Take a shot every time there's a shawl.
Yeah.
You'll be toast.
You're not making it to that second VHS tape. I'm gonna go 75.
I mean, this is a lot of freaking shawls. Mm-hmm. I'll go 77.
Okay.
Your Star Wars came out. This is number one in shawls.
Okay,
alrighty.
Yeah.
Great. With a 79. You know what's behind it with a 15? Kramer versus Kramer. All right, next category, footwork.
Okay, so there's a couple.
There's
so footwork is not just, it's the jig, but it was, again, when it was pitched, there was also a sense of like movement or like sort of hijinks or, you know, sort of like that. So we have the jig. There's a thing when they're doing the jig where Kate Winslet stands on the tip of her toes.
Yeah,
so that's some real footwork there.
That's real footwork.
I think like all the running away from like David Warner and like a lot of the running they do, there's definitely like footwork going on there.
Yeah.
A lot of footwork.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You notice any footwork?
Anything you want
to
bring to the table?
Those would have been the ones that I would have brought up. Yeah. I was excited to say, oh, what about tiptoes? But you said it immediately.
Yeah. So what are you going to give it, John?
Because also you were looking for the things in the movie.
That's true, yeah.
So we've done this before. I have to trust that you guys noticed all the footwork.
Yeah.
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 We're looking for footwork.
Yeah. No. Well, there's the delicate footwork of Rose's feet when she's trying to jump off, and there's like a close up.
Oh, that's right. She has a little slip.
Standing on the beads.
And then Gloria Stewart stands up on the
the
rail.
Yeah.
And then every time they go to the front of the ship, the stern?
Maybe.
Merm?
Yeah.
I don't know.
The merm of the ship?
The merm.
Yeah.
What are you going to give it, John?
For footwork, I will give it an 84.
84.
Wow. 50.
50.
Okay.
I wouldn't call this a footworky movie.
I don't know. How many movies do women literally go to the top of their toes?
65.
Thank you.
I'm going to go 50.
Okay.
Because Chicago, we gave 100, so this feels right.
Yeah.
Fair.
Or actually, you know what? No, I'll give a 60 because I gave Ghost a 50.
Okay.
All right, next category. This is the last category before we get to your category.
Okay.
This is the last one. A bold lip. Scale of 0 to 100.
Okay, I would say Billy Zane's lips, period. Like that alone. Like he's like always at like a at a gentle purse.
Yeah.
Like they're always like a little bit like,
Yeah.
Leo at the beginning had a very, what I would call like a muted bubblegum pink lip that was like very obvious to me. And then also what I noticed, Kate Winslet's lips got darker after she fucked Leo.
Well, she's a tainted woman now.
Yes, the blush of innocence.
Molly Brown had some pretty bold lip here and there.
Mm-hmm. And I think the fetish woman had bold lip.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
That was a breakout, but sure, it was a bold lip.
Lady Duff Gordon.
Yeah.
What are you going to give it, John?
So for bold lip, it's not like crazy lip stuff. So I'm going to go 38.
38. Oh, after all that, I thought you were going to go higher.
I would give it 45.
45. You know, that's what I was going to say. A 45.
Okay. 45.
45. All right, Heather. It's time for you to add a category to the canon.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So then my canon will be, and this has to be gayest, though, right?
This has to be the prism we could use moving forward. And if it helps your movie... Great.
Like some people have done, as you have probably realized.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So then I guess.
We didn't tell you anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I could say like, oh, breaking in half of something.
Sure.
Is something rent asunder.
Yes.
There's also something like apocalyptic about the whole movie as like a microcosm of society.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like the rending of the world.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But I
burning
think
the world down.
We're going too fast into the iceberg.
I think I'm going to say.
Please.
But it's not going to help my movie.
That's okay.
You're being honest.
But I think it would be a good gay category.
Great.
Is a man wearing another man's clothes.
Okay.
Which helps Titanic. He does it twice.
That's true. He steals a man's coat.
He steals
at some point.
Coat, and then he
wears Kathy Bates' son's tuxedo.
Tuxedo. So,
oh, yeah.
So it's like.
Okay. So do we mean this solely literally, or is there a sense of like assuming another identity?
Yeah. Well, I'll take that.
Sure.
Yeah. In the future.
Because that actually works very well for drag.
Yeah.
If someone within the movie assumes another identity.
Yes. Yes.
Love it.
I think that's great.
So I tried to help, but I know that Titanic isn't going to score very high on that list.
Well, let's see. What do we have?
Mr. Ripley would go do very well.
That would do very well.
Yeah.
But like
Face Off would do incredibly.
Two.
Mission Impossible. They do that a lot,
too.
Sure.
A lot of any spy
movie. But for Titanic, I mean, so that ticket that he gets in the beginning, the ticket on the boat, that's him like sort of, I mean, he has to pretend to, he's like, oh, no, they pretend to be someone else to get on the boat.
Yeah.
Do they change their name?
They say, like, we're both American, so we don't need this, and
Oh, they say, oh, did you go through the lice check? Oh, yeah, we did. Of course we did.
Yeah.
We're American. We don't
have... He steals a coat, and then that's part of why he gets arrested.
Yeah.
Yes. He wears an entirely different outfit of a different man.
Yeah, twice.
And then she, at the end, she also takes on his name. She says, Rose Dawson. When they're
when she gets up. Yeah, when they're...
When they're Statue of Liberating her.
Yep.
What do you say? This also doesn't have to be a man and another man.
Right.
Or does it? It could be just wearing someone else's clothes.
Yeah.
Assuming
a...
Or is there gayer for a man wearing another man?
I think traditionally, that's how you'd want to do it.
I'm just asking.
Yeah,
but, I mean, we watched that. What's that Glenn Close movie? Albert Nobbs?
Huh? That's
Albert Nobbs? No, where she's like
Nobbs.
Albert Nobbs, where she's like
it's
the old, like, butler.
Situation.
Yes, yes, it's the Milan. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think wearing, taking on an identity slash wearing clothes, however you
wearing another's clothes.
Yeah, wearing
another's clothes.
Wearing another's clothes.
Okay, good. Okay. We got it. We did it.
And for Titanic, I'm going to give it just a 70.
70.
I'm going to go, because it's not like a huge plot thing, I'm going to go 40.
You went on and on about that montage. God.
He can't have that dinner, and the whole movie doesn't happen if he doesn't get into that suit.
That's true. Yeah, all right.
Spent 5 minutes of your dissertation.
I'll give it a 58.
I was generous to the podcast, thinking about like how
Thank
the conversation
you.
Is going to happen
you.
In the future, okay. And you fucking your... throw the whole movie into the pit.
What score did you give it again?
I said a 58.
And Heather?
70, I think.
70.
You did say that.
I'll give it a 60.
All righty.
Okay, so now we are into the bonus points round.
So these are just sort of like, we agree or not, it's just sort of a yes or no. It's not like a schedule. It's not a scale.
Yeah.
All right, so a plus 15% bonus for a positive portrayal of homosexuality.
Nope. I think they don't really, they don't do it, so it doesn't get the bonus on that one.
And then the follow-up, they would get negative 5% for each instance of a straight actor playing a gay role.
That doesn't happen.
Nope, doesn't
so
happen.
They don't get penalized for that one.
Nice.
And then finally, negative 50% points if this is the movie Cruising.
This is not the movie Cruising, so it does not penalize 50% of its points.
Okay.
Here we go.
So, out of a total possible 3,700 points, Titanic has scored 1,683, giving it a 45.49%, making it the 16th gayest movie ever.
Okay.
Not as gay as not as gay as the How the Grinch Stole Christmas, but gayer than Tourist Trap.
Okay.
So that's where we're at. That's where we are at.
Hold on, I have to look up something real quick. Can you edit this?
Yes.
Great.
Sure.
All right.
I'm pretty sure these numbers add up.
I don't think she's trying to calculate it right now.
Oh, no, I know.
So what was the... It was 16,1603 was our number?
The total possible was 1,683.
Out
of a total possible 3,700.
That's what we got? So... We almost got exactly the number of people who died on the ship.
What a strange tribute.
Yeah. Yes.
That's creepy.
Wow. Yeah, super creepy.
So this podcast is macabre.
Yeah, so I guess we got to give them more points.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a great... Fun
fact. Yeah, fun fact.
Incredible.
Great to end on that one.
Well, thank you so much.
Well, thank you guys. Thank you. I wish Titanic had won, but it isn't the gayest movie of all
time.
It isn't.
Yeah.
Pretty campy.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Is there anything you'd like to plug, promote, shill for right now?
Just tune into How Did This Get Played, which you guys were so great on. It was great.
Thank you.
And that's it, I guess.
All right.
Great.
Great. Wonderful.
Wait, did I do that poorly?
No.
I
have a Twitter account
or
something like that?
In my head, I like sunk it. I was like, what else is there? There's nothing. I've done nothing.
It did
nothing.
Feel like the lights went
I
out
have
a little
nothing
bit.
Nothing in my life. Follow me on Twitter at Heather Campbell. On Instagram at Heather Ann Campbell.
Oh.
Because I can get on that fast enough.
No.
It's tough.
Yeah, it is. And that's it. I guess, right?
That's great.
Yeah, that was
wonderful.
Yay!
Wonderful.
Yay!
You nailed it. All right. We'll be right back.
Yay! And next week, our movie is definitely not an Oscar nominated movie. I think it'll probably do well in camp. It's 1984's Supergirl. Yes. I've never seen it. All right. So I don't I think you. I don't think it's streaming anymore. You're going to have to rent it if you want to watch it. But that's it for us then. Goodbye. Wherever you are.
Now it's time for credits. Produced by Alex Arche. Music by Danny Cohen. Art by Connie Shin. See you next Wednesday. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.